ನಾರಾಯಣ ಪರಾವೇದ ದೇವಾ ನಾರಾಯಣಾಂಗಜ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಪರಲೋಕ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಪರಾಮಖ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಪರಾವೇದ ದೇವಾ ನಾರಾಯಣಾಂಗಜ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಪರಲೋಕ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಪರಾಮಖ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಪರಾವೇದ ದೇವಾ ನಾರಾಯಣಾಂಗಜ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಪರಲೋಕ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಪರಾಮಖ ನಾರಾಯಣ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಪರ ಇಸ್ ದ ಕಾಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಮೆಂಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ವೇದ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ದೇವ ದ ಡೆಮಿಗಾಡ್ಸ್ ನಾರಾಯಣ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಅಂಗಜ ಅಸಿಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ಸ್ ನಾರಾಯಣ ದ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್ ಪರ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಸೇಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಲೋಕ the planets narayana the supreme lord para just to please him makaha all sacrifices translation and purport by his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada translation the vedic literatures are made by and are meant for the supreme lord the demigods are also meant for serving the lord as parts of his body. The different planets are also meant for the sake of the Lord, and different sacrifices are performed just to please him. Purport. According to the Vedanta Sutras, Shastra Yoni Swat, the Supreme Lord is the author of all revealed scriptures, and all revealed scriptures are for knowing the Supreme Lord. Veda means knowledge that leads to the Lord. The Vedas are made just to revive the forgotten consciousness of the conditioned souls. And any literature not meant for reviving God consciousness is rejected at once by the Narayana Para devotees. Such deluding books of knowledge, not having Narayana as their aim, are not at all knowledge, but are the playgrounds for crows who are interested in the rejected refuse of the world. Any book of knowledge, science of art, must lead to the knowledge of Narayana. Otherwise, it must be rejected. That is the way of advancement of knowledge. The supreme worshipable deity is Narayana. The demigods are recommended secondarily for worship in relation to Narayana because the demigods are assisting hands in the management of the universal affairs. As the officers of a kingdom are respected due to their relation to the king, the demigods are worshipped due to their relation to the Lord. Without Lord's relation, worship of the demigods is unauthorized, avidhi purvakam, just as it is improper to water the leaves and branches of a tree without watering its root. Therefore, the demigods are also dependent on Narayana. The lokas or different planets are attractive because they have different varieties of life and bliss, partially representing the Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Everyone wants the eternal life of bliss and knowledge in the material world. Such an eternal life of bliss and knowledge is progressively realized in the upper planets. But after reaching there, one is inclined to achieve further progress along the path back to Godhead. Duration of life with a proportionate quantity of bliss and knowledge may be increased from one planet to another. One can increase the duration of life to thousands and hundreds of thousands of years in different planets, but nowhere is there eternal life. But one who can reach the highest planet, that of Brahma, can aspire to reach the planets in the spiritual sky, where life is eternal. Therefore, the progressive journey from one planet to another culminates in reaching the supreme planet of the Lord, Mad Dhamma, where life is eternal and full of bliss and knowledge. All different kinds of sacrifice are performed just to satisfy Lord Narayan with a view to reach him, and the best sacrifice recommended in this age of Kali is Sankirtana Yajna, the mainstay of the devotional service of a Narayana Para devotee. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitan Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalitam Shri Vishakhanvitamsha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar श्री वासवदे गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण Sincerely seeking the blessings of all the devotees before I could speak something. And I am grateful to His Grace Radhika Vallabh Prabhu and His Grace Pavaneshwar Prabhu for guiding me and giving me valuable inputs for whatever I am attempting to speak. Hare Krishna. The title of the chapter which we are currently reading is the cause of all causes, Sarva Karana Karana. Actually, the entire scientific community is bogged by the same question. What is the origin of this universe, this manifested creation, the cosmic creation? What is its origin? From where has it come? How has it come? Who made it? Or rather, how it came into being, because they hardly consider who made it. Collating all their data spread over centuries of effort and across all the continents of the globe, they do not have the right answer to one simple question. That is, did the hen come first or the egg? But for students of Bhagavad Gita, the answer is in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, verse number 4. Sarvayonishu Kaunteya Murtaya Sambhavantiyah Tasham Brahma Mahadyonir Aham Bija Pradapita. This is what Lord Krishna is telling Arjun. He is telling, all the 84 lakh species of life, of course it's not mentioned 84, all species of life, all the 84 lakh species of life, he says, are coming from me. I am the seed-giving father. They are possible, made possible, only by my potency. When a man is not able to have a child, what do they say? What is the word used? When a man is not able to have a child? Impotent. But God is omnipotent. He is not able to produce somebody like himself, the human form, but he is able to produce all the species of life. It's very clearly mentioned. So he says, I impregnate Mother Nature with the seed of all the species of life, and all the species of life spring to life. So, for the students of the Gita, the answer is, neither the hen came first, nor did the egg come first. Krishna came first. And then everything followed. But this answer is unacceptable to the scientific community, because they cannot access Krishna. Their problem is, they want to replicate how Krishna created the first hen that laid the egg. They wanted to do it on the table of the laboratory. In short, they want to take the position of God, but do not understand that it is beyond their scope. Their constitutional position is to serve Krishna and not become Krishna. Their intelligence is to be able to provide for food, shelter and clothing for themselves and not to challenge God. You cannot carry a train load on a scooter. They are in the same predicament as Ravan and Hiranyakashipu. What is our capacity? Infinitesimal. And who is God? Infinite. On either end of the spectrum. And what is this cosmic creation which is made of matter? It is that which is susceptible to the senses. And what is the definition given in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of the Supreme Lord Krishna? It is mentioned, Ataha Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grahyam Indriyai Sevan Mukhehi Jivadav Swayam Eva Suratyada. That means, Lord Krishna, His name and anything related to Him. Ataha Shri Krishna Nam Adi Na Bhavet Grahyam Indriyai. It does not come under the grip of one's senses. It is beyond the senses. That is why Lord and everything related to Him is transcendental. Sevan Mukhehi Jivado. But still there is a method. If you serve Him with your tongue, by chanting His holy name, by tasting His prasad, then Krishna will manifest in your heart of His own accord. He has the freedom to do it or no. He has the prerogative. It is His prerogative. So in this connection, I had penned down something in the year 2009. So I thought it is worth mentioning here. Achintya Krishna. Krishna who is beyond our conception. Krishna has no limit. It's better you know it. Submit and admit that you cannot outwit. And if you still persist, you can't just exist. Father of Prahlad and Ravan did try. And ended in the pan like the proverbial fry. So lock up your reason and pack up your ego. Bring up your faith and in the holy name bathe. This is the way to access Krishna. Not by challenging or not by laboring without fruit in the wrong direction. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna says, I am just a call away. Just call me in my name, that's all. I am available. He is accessible. Here, the Srimad Bhagavatam clearly says, Krishna, Narayana, Vasudeva is the origin of the universe and everything in it, including we, the living entities. Narayana is the cause of all causes, says this verse, today's verse. The flow of this chapter up to the present verse, let us just come to that and then touch upon today's verse. The present chapter is a conversation between Brahma, the spiritual master and father of Narad Muni, his son and disciple. Narad Muni is inquiring the truth of the individual soul, Jiva, and the super soul, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in the second verse, he is asking six questions. First, Yad Rupam, what are the symptoms of the manifest world? Yad Adhishthanam, what is its shelter? That question is answered in this verse, number 15, and in the next verse, 16. The next verse, and also in the next chapter, verse number 31. The third question is asking is, Yata Srishtam, how is it created? Yata Samishtam, how is it conserved? Fifth question is asking is, Yat Param, what it depends on? Which is also answered partly in today's verse. And the sixth question is asking is, Yatcha, what is it composed of? So two questions are answered in today's verse. That is, Yat Adhishthanam, that means, what is the shelter of this created cosmic manifestation and the living entities living within it? And the other question is, Yat Param, what does it depend on? Answers to both the questions are Lord Narayana. That is why it has been so explicitly dealt with here. Narad Muni says, in the third verse he is asking, Since you have created and are in charge of the creation of this universe, you must be knowing the facts. Please explain the facts to me. I don't want any mental speculation. I don't want to speculate on my own. So I'm asking you because you're the authority, you're creating. Then he says, he's curious. He's asking, do you create with your personal energy? Like when somebody buys a flat or renovates, spending big amount of money, what do people ask? Hey, from where did you get the money to buy such a nice flat? Or how did you renovate it, spending so much money? If people don't ask, the income tax department will surely ask. Then the fifth is, he compares Brahma's creation like the spider creating his web. Sixth question is asking, the sixth verse he says is, there is such a wide variety in this creation. He's admiring. Did you create this wide range of varieties all yourself? But then in the next verse, he's expressing a doubt. Is there someone superior to you? Why do you practice austerities? On whom do you meditate? And then Naradji is requesting to be instructed as a student and not in a challenging way. It is something like Karpanya Dosha. So, here in some of these verses, Prabhupada has very explicitly in the purports given the factual position of a guru in relation to the Supreme Lord Krishna and what should be the role of a devotee. Everything is very clearly explained. He says a guru is a representative of the Lord and therefore has to be respected like the Lord, as the Lord. But he is not the Lord. And any guru who claims that I am God, worship me, has to be rejected outright as an imposter. So, what is the qualification of a guru has been nicely brought out. And similarly, the qualification of a disciple. Disciple has to take a submissive role, has to ask questions, should not blindly accept anybody as guru. That is what Narad Muni is also demonstrating here. He is asking questions. Pariprashnena sevaya. And upadekshanti te jnanam, because they are aware, they will be able to give that knowledge in the right perspective. Brahmaji congratulates Narad Muni for his searching questions. A pure devotee like Brahma is not satisfied to know God, but is equally eager to share that knowledge of God with the others. That is the symptom of a pure devotee. Here we are having two pure devotees interacting with each other. One is Narad Muni, the other is Brahma. Both are pure devotees. And so it is very interesting to see their interaction and we can learn from it. Narad means one who gives Narayana to others. Narada, one who gives Narayana to others. That is the meaning of the word Narada. Here, both Narada and Brahma are pure devotees. Brahma is himself clarifying, I am only a secondary creator. The primary creator is Narayana, Vasudeva, Krishna. Sarga means the primary creation and Visarga means the secondary creation. So Brahma says, I am only doing Visarga. Sarga is done by Narayana. So in the Brahma Samhita, Brahma again brings out this fact when he is glorifying Lord Vishnu. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. The title of today's chapter, Sarva Karana Karanam, cause of all causes. So Brahma himself is clarifying and now he is explaining it explicitly to Narada and through Narada to all of us. Then persons, Brahma says, persons influenced by Maya think, I am God. That means they think that Brahma is God. Those who surrender to Krishna, they know Krishna, Vishnu, Narayan, Vasudev as God. So the qualification to know is one should be able to surrender. Our one Prabhu very nicely explained, Sudama Prabhu. He very nicely makes to pun the words, you know. He is good at punning. So he says, surrender. Surrender means what? Surrender. Put your head under the lotus feet of the Lord. So, persons influenced by Maya think, I am God. That is, those who surrender to Him know that Krishna is God. The material world is a product of His internal and external energies, both combined together. He is ultimately sourced in Him. Everything in this cosmic creation has its origin in Narayan, in Krishna, in Vasudev. That is explained in the 14th verse. That's Brahma is explaining that. And in the 15th verse, Brahma is now directly taking the name of Narayan. Narayana para veda, Narayana deva Narayana gaja, Narayana para loka, Narayana para makha. Veda means knowledge. Veda means to know. Actually, that is the exact meaning of the word Veda. Veda means to know. All knowledge comes from the Lord, Narayan, who is the author. The scriptures are actually directly given by the Lord. It doesn't have a human author. That is why it is explained as Apaurusheya. But what kind of knowledge is given in the scriptures? Knowledge that leads to the Lord. All knowledge is given by Him and is meant to satisfy Him. By understanding this knowledge, one can engage in the devotional service of the Lord and satisfy the Lord. Otherwise, anything else that goes in the name of knowledge has to be simply rejected. That which does not connect to the Supreme Lord is not knowledge. Deva Narayana Angaja. Narayana Anga means all the demigods, devatas, are limbs of the Supreme Lord Narayan. The Supreme Worshipable Lord is Narayan. Krishna, Vasudev, demigods are His limbs. Should be worshipped only in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is very explicitly stated in the Bhagavad Gita and also in the Bhagavatam. That is, if you worship them as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the worship is avidhi purvakam. Wrong worship. You have to water the root of the tree. You don't have to water the leaves and the stems. Narayana paraloka. The different planets in the material universe, they only partially represent the opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But there is no eternal life on any of them. All the upper planets, they have a very long duration of life. They have fantastic facilities. We can't imagine those things in this Mrityu Loka, in the Bhu Loka where we are at present lodged. But when you go there, you have wonderful facilities. But even then, there is no eternality of life. That is reserved only for the abode of the Supreme Lord. But then, there is a springboard to go there. And that is, by gradual progression to these upper planets, one can ultimately reach the Brahmaloka. From the Brahmaloka, like a springboard, how you jump up, you vault yourself up into the spiritual sky. There you can enter the Tad Dhamma Paramamama, that planet of the Supreme Lord, which is the topmost. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, there is a beautiful shloka where Krishna again brings out this point very nicely. Chapter 5, verse number 29. He says, Bhoktaram yagya tapasa sarva loka maheshwaram surudam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shanti mirchati. He says, eternal peace is only in contact with the Supreme Lord. If you are not able to contact, there is no question of peace in this world. And therefore, what is the abode of the Lord known as? Vaikuntha. Kuntha means anxiety, tension, distractions. But if you want peace, Kuntha. That is, you don't want Kuntha. Vaikuntha, without Kuntha. That is the abode of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, even if you are able to contact the Supreme Lord, get in touch with Him, then you can experience it even over here. Narayana Paramaka. All sacrifices are only to please Narayana. He is the supreme object of all the worship. All worship is actually meant to please Narayana. Now, Ganesh Chaturthi is very popular and everybody sings the Ganesh Aarti. So Ganesh Aarti is glorification of Lord Ganesh. But at the end of it, what do you find? Kayena vacha manasendriyerva buddhyatmana va prakrite svabhavat karomi yatvat sakalam parasmai narayanayeti samarpayami. What is this? Why suddenly Narayan comes into Ganesh Aarti? So that is exactly how the Vedic literature is presented. The demigods, they are in charge of different departments. That is a very nice way of understanding the demigods. You know, we can understand things better when we see it in relation to what we experience in daily life. So, we have all been to school. We have been in the classroom. And in the classroom, there is a teacher and there are students. But among the students, there is a prefect. And who selects the prefect? The class teacher. The teacher only appoints the prefect. And the prefect is given some powers. The prefect can control the class. The prefect can give instructions to the other students. So he is put in a position of a little position of authority, like a head of the department. He is appointed like that. That is exactly the position of the demigods in this material creation. We are like the students. The Supreme Lord is like the teacher. And the Supreme Lord selects and elects a few from the crowd of the living entities in this material world who have some qualities in them, and understanding the potential and understanding their aspiration to exercise some authority, the Supreme Lord gives them some power of position or some position of power, so that they can exercise some authority over the general populace, and then they are designated as demigods, deemed to be God but not God. So that is a way of understanding the position of the demigods in terms of what we experience in our daily life. The supreme sacrifice for this yuga, Prabhupada mentions that at the end of the purport, is Sankirtan Mahayagya. There are various kinds of yagyas, but for the Kali Yuga, Sankirtan Mahayagya, and that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. Lord Krishna incarnates in this age of Kali simply in His name. So when you chant the holy name of the Lord, and that too, congregationally, samyak kirtan, along with the other devotees, then what happens? Ek aur ek milke gyara ho jata hai. Do nahi. So it multiplies manifold times. And then what happens? The Lord actually comes Himself and presents Himself in that congregation. So then that is why it is explained that Naham tishthami vaikunte na yogi hridaye shuva. Mad bhakta yatra gayanti tatra tishthami Narada. This is what the Lord is telling Narad Himself, that wherever my devotees come together congregationally and chant my name and call out me, I personally come there. So he is accessible. But the thing is, one has to surrender to the process by which to access Him. And that process is bhakti. Serve Him in devotion, and serve Him in loving devotion. That is the point. So this material world depends on Narayan, just as the tree wholly depends on the roots of its nourishment. Yata taroora moola nischinena trupyanti taskanda bujopashakaha pranopaha achara yatendriyanam tataiva sarvarhanam achyute ijya. This is a shloka from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, scientists observe the effect, but Krishna says, I am the cause. Example, liver produces hydrochloric acid to digest food. What gives the liver the ability to produce that hydrochloric acid? That the scientists do not inquire. They only observe what does the liver do, the function of the liver. They analyze that it produces hydrochloric acid and they know what is the density or the intensity of this hydrochloric acid that it can digest the food. All these things they analyze. But why is it a lump of flesh in the stomach is producing hydrochloric acid? Who put it there? How did it come? Who designed it? Those things are left out. Krishna says, Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashritaha Pranapana Samayuktam Pachamannam Satchaturvida. This is the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, verse number 14. He says, I am the fire of digestion in the bodies of all living entities, and I join with the air of life, outgoing and incoming, to digest four kinds of foodstuff, that which is drunk, chewed, licked, and sucked. So, the living entities are actually dependent on Narayana. Even for the basic digestion of the food that we have to digest on a day-to-day basis, this is what the scriptures tell us. The medical books don't tell us that you are dependent on Narayana. They say you are dependent on the hydrochloric acid in your liver. So this is the basic difference in material vision and spiritual vision. It goes to the cause of all causes, to the root of all causes. Vasudeva consciousness. Actually, there is another aspect also that distinguishes spirituality from material knowledge. And that is the subject of the three modes of material nature. There are three modes, we know. How do we know? We would not have known had we not contacted Bhagavad Gita or the Bhagavatam. It has never been taught in the schools. They never talk about the three modes. Mode of goodness, sattva gun, rajogun, tamogun. These things are not mentioned. Why they are not mentioned? Because it is not amenable to research and proof. You cannot see sattva gun under a microscope. You cannot touch rajogun or you cannot feel tamogun. It is beyond the scope of the senses. But common sense tells us it is there. Common sense, which is above the five senses. Otherwise, it is only nonsense. If you don't understand common sense, it is nonsense. So, Shuddham Sattvam Vasudeva Shabditam. It is explained in the scriptures. That is, the lowest of the three modes is the mode of ignorance. Above that is the mode of passion. Above that is the mode of goodness. But even goodness is still immaterially contaminated. It is not pure. So when it is purified, then it becomes Vishuddha Sattvam. And when it is Vishuddha Sattvam, then that is known as Vasudev. That position, that status is known as Vasudeva Sattvam. Shabditam, that is, it is explained as. So the mode of goodness is the best of the three modes, but still on the material platform. When goodness is purified, that is distilled of all impurities, then that is distilled of the material consciousness, then it is known as Vasudeva Sattvam. Or Vasudeva is that state of consciousness in which Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, can be understood and realized. Vasudev, Vasudev. Devaki and Vasudev performed great penances and austerities before they could beget Vasudev, that is Lord Krishna, as their child. People in this world, because of their contaminated consciousness, that is, I want to be the enjoyer, not servitor, are cast into this material world by the Lord so that they can enjoy separately from the Lord. Therefore, they are awarded senses and the Lord also creates tanmatras, that is, objects of senses like form, sound, touch, taste and smell. When the senses contact the object of senses, they experience pleasure. Thus, this pleasure, however, is short-lived, kshanik or alpa. Why is it short-lived? Because it is not the constitutional position of the living entity to enjoy, but the constitutional position is to serve. So, what the Lord gives is actually a facility in the material world to temporarily enjoy. It is not a concession. It is actually a concession. It is not a license. This is what we understand. Sense gratification is only a concession. It is not a license. Jagannath can eat 56 bhog 7 times a day. What is our capacity to eat? How much can we eat? Can we eat even 7 rasgullas? After the second or third one, we say, bas ho gaya, bahut ho gaya. That is our infinitesimal capacity, whereas Jagannath, the Lord, Narayan, Vasudev is infinite. Therefore, sages advise fasting to control our senses and not to overdo the concessions or breach the concession given to us. Ultimately, we have to go back to our constitutional position. And the paradox is, when one realizes God through devotional service, it unleashes such ecstasy that higher taste which nullifies all the hankering for sense gratification, and a person is purified of the material contamination. The soul is naturally in a state of Vishuddha Sattva. It is artificially knotted, that is, granthi is tied with matter in the heart. Therefore, that is the shloka in the Bhagavatam which explains. Vidyate hrudaya granthis chidyante sarva samshayah. So that is explained there. Therefore, Krishna says, again this point is brought out. In the 15th chapter, 7th verse, Krishna explains. Mamaivam sho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashashthani indriyani prakrite sthane karshati. That means the living entity, the soul in this material world, in contact with material nature, is actually struggling. It is not its true self. It is not its natural self. It is in an artificial environment, foreign environment. It is not feeling homely over here. So that is why it says karshati. Krishna says karshati. It is struggling. Kadap raha hai yahan par. It is foreign. Only in that consciousness, only in Vasudeva Sattva, will a soul be relaxed and united in loving devotional service to the Lord and realize its full potential and bloom in full. Sense gratification is a distraction. Krishna is the real attraction. You have to understand this. Krishna, Vasudev, Narayan, qualitatively they are all of Vishnu Tattva. Difference is only in rasa. Gopis are attracted to Krishna, Vaikuntha Vasis are attracted to Narayana. Lakshmi Narayan is worshipped in awe and reverence. The Lord is so kind, even to the rebellious souls, that He has made this jail, reformatory, where we have been put, look like an opulent abode. There are no signs of shackles. They have been concealed as invisible ropes, the three modes. They are the shackles. The three modes are shackling us. Those in ignorance worship ghosts and pitris to fulfill their basic desires. Those in passion are after woman, wealth and opulences. They worship demigods. Those in goodness worship Vishnu and the incarnations, the Vishnu Tattvas. Those in knowledge aspire for Vasudeva, that is Lord Krishna. Vishuddha Sattvam. Therefore, a similar verse like what today's verse is also there in the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, chapter 2, verse numbers 28 and 29. It says, Vasudeva para Veda, Vasudeva para Makha, Vasudeva para Yoga, Vasudeva para Kriya, Vasudeva para Jnanam, Vasudeva para Tapah, Vasudeva para Dharmo, Vasudeva para Gatihi. So, this is the sum and substance. And something that is very close to my heart, Sri Krishna, the Lord of Guru Ayur, where I got my first inspiration. So there is a beautiful story of Guru Ayur which happened very recently, because the Lord is continuously interacting with His devotees. He doesn't just leave them. So recently something happened over there. So you know, during the time of the COVID, all the temples were shut. Our temple was shut. I think our temple was shut on the 16th of March, if I am not mistaken. And 20th of March, it was declared lockdown in Mumbai. And on the 25th, the Guruvayur temple was shut. On 25th of March, 2020. So, this has been given as a voice message. It came in my family group. So, when I read that, I lapped it up. And I want to share it with all of you today. Lord Krishna in Guruvayur is addressed as Narayana. The chant in Guruvayur is Narayana. In Tirupati, what is the chant? Govinda, 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 Govinda. That's how they say in Tirupati. So in Guruvayur, they say Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. That is how they address the Lord. And so what happened was, the responsibility to perform the daily Shiveli. Shiveli means when the Lord is, the Utsav Murti of the Lord is taken in a procession around the temple premises. So it is done very beautifully with three elephants. In the central elephant, the Lord is seated on the top of the elephant, and the elephant is beautifully caparisoned, you know. Very beautiful decoration is done for the elephant, and there is an umbrella held over the head of the Lord, and the person who carries the Utsav Murti, he is known as Mel Shanti. And he actually holds the Murti close to his chest. And then he has to hold the elephant with one hand. And the elephant is also trained, so it helps him to climb up. And he climbs to the neck of the elephant. And he goes and sits over there. He will perch himself over there. And the other two elephants, there are other devotees with chamar and peacock feather, like how we also do here, in the same way. So they stand on those two elephants, and then it is beautiful procession, and there are devotees in the front and also at the back, carrying lighted lamps, and they have these musical drums and everything playing, and the Lord is taken in a grand procession, as deserving the right royalty that He is. So this responsibility of performing the daily Shiveli, carrying the Utsav Murti of the Lord in circumambulation around the temple pathway, was given to one priest. And that priest has mentioned this anecdote that took place, this incident that took place. He had to hold the deity close to his body and climb up the elephant to ride around the temple on the elephant. Two elephants accompany the deity with devotees, fanning the deity with chamara and peacock. On the 25th of March 2020, the darshan closed. Only 10 devotees were allowed inside the temple to do the daily puja, like how we had it also here. A few devotees were inside and our temple gates were locked. Nobody was allowed inside. Same thing over there. So a few devotees were given the permission to go and carry out the daily puja. And 5 security personnel were also allowed. And he says, I was the priest and went for some time. And after some time, it was relaxed a bit. A little relaxation took place. And when the relaxation took place, people were still not allowed inside. Partial relaxation. But they were allowed at the outside entrance, outside gates. In this temple, there are 4 gates. East, west, north and south. So, in the eastern gate and the western gates, devotees were allowed to assemble and see the Utsav Murti from far on the back of the elephant as the elephant was approaching. So those who were allowed up to there were very eager to see the Utsav Murti. The Moola Murti, the main Murti, was inside and no one could go in to see that. In the western gate also there were devotees. But the vision from the western gate was very clear. So one day, while holding the deity, pressed against the chest and climbing up the elephant. Now here the priest is recorded this and I have got it as a voice message. I felt a vibration like heartbeats, he's telling. Was wondering, hey, what is that? Just then, I heard a whispering voice into my ears. My devotees are eagerly waiting to see me. They cannot come closer. I wish to go ahead to be close to them. I am going to prod the elephant to sprint a little and hurry up towards my devotees on the western gate. I felt the Lord Krishna, the Lord of Guruvayur, Lord Krishna, the Lord of Guruvayur, is telling me so. I said, no, my Lord, please don't do that. After a few days, anyway, devotees will come in. Now, if the elephant starts running, sprinting ahead, the devotees will become fearful and they will run back. At the same moment, the elephant keeper, Mahut, told me, oh, priest, please hold the seat tightly. The elephant is not responding to my orders. He is sprinting on his own. I have no control over him now. At that time, this priest felt, oh God, what is this? I heard, and here the elephant keeper is also confirming the same statement, the same situation. He says, my Lord is performing some lila now. The elephant ran from the Ayyappa shrine to the western gate and stood there, a little bent in posture, not the normal way. The devotees there had a grand darshan. Then the Mahout came there. He caught up with the elephant and the elephant responded to his call as usual. The devotees are eager to see the Lord, but the Lord is equally or more eager to see his devotees. Was the realization I got, says the priest. That experience was one where I felt the touch of Kanha, that is Krishna. In Malayalam they say Kannan, that is the word used over there. And Lord Krishna over there in Malayalam local language is addressed as Unni Kannan, Butter Krishna. Because he is a small child there in that holding the, like Laddu Gopal, you know, holding butter in his hands. That experience was one. He felt the contact with the Lord. My hair stood on their end during that brief episode. A sense of ecstasy swept through me. Things happened. And then he says, things happen as per the Lord's desire. Unni Kannan, the butter Krishna. Let us have this firm faith. Wherever the devotee may be, the Lord will always be by his side of his devotee. Let us firmly hold his lotus feet in our heart. Those devotees did not know all this intricacy. What was happening, they didn't know. They just enjoyed the darshan. Actually, that is not the route of the elephant. The elephant has to just go on that path and they will see only from far. It actually came very near to give them the darshan. Actually, this was inspired by the Lord. The Lord wanted to, even he also wanted to see his devotees. So we understand, when we come to the temple, we are eager to have darshan of the Lord. But what about the Lord? He is also equally reciprocative. That is our good fortune. Those devotees did not know. Let us be cemented with the faith that our Lord will always be with us. From wherever we pray, He will reach there. The chant in Guruvayur temple is Narayana. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, verse number 15, Krishna says, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matas mritir jnanam apohanam cha vedesha sarve rahameva vidya vedanta krit vidya vidyeha chaham. I am seated in everyone's heart and from me come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta and I am the knower of the Vedas. So this is what is Narayana Para Veda. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Hare Krishna. Thank you.